Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Today we have a special broadcast with Joe Dallas as we talk about a special edition of the Christian Research Journal available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast or outreaches around the world. Do remember our contact information as you listen in on the web. It's equip.org via the mail, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI, the special edition of the Christian Research Journal, features three articles by Joe Dallas. The first is titled, When Someone You Love Says I'm Gay. Obviously, very relevant. The second, Dying to Love. And the third, The Transsexual Dilemma, a dialogue about the ethics of sex change. And I want to talk about that second article by Joe with Joe on today's broadcast. As always, Joe, it's great to have you.
Good being with you, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing good. Joe, of course, is Program Director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California. This is a Christian counseling service to men who are dealing with sexual addiction, men who are dealing with homosexuality, and other sexual relational problems. He is the author of many books on human sexuality, including A Strong Delusion and When Homosexuality Hits Home. All these resources you can find on the web at equip.org. But Joe, I'm particularly interested in the second of the articles, the three articles that I mentioned, in that there are three points that I think are worthy to discuss on the broadcast. The first is dying to the desire to belong.
That is, I think, one of the strongest natural desires we have, because from the time we come into the world, Hank, we are very social creatures. And so we're very aware of majority opinion. We're very aware of majority taste. And that awareness and the desire to be accepted by the majority makes us susceptible to conforming to the majority. Now, there is nothing wrong with that so long as our conforming is not violating our conforming to the truth. And this is where I think the modern church, especially the modern evangelical church, is in serious danger today, Hank. I think we are in a danger of wanting so badly to be liked by the culture that we are willing to conform our beliefs, conform our standards to those of the surrounding culture in the interest of fitting in and belonging. So that, I think, is one of my greatest concerns as we speak, really.
And you've pointed out that the real issue here is that we should not be cultural imitators, but rather cultural initiators.
Exactly. I mean, on the one hand, I think we can look with respect at the culture in the sense that we can recognize many things the culture has to offer by way of arts, by way of information. I don't think we need to see the culture as the enemy, but ultimately, a Christian world viewpoint recognizes that the surrounding environment, this world, is a place that is running largely contrary to what God intended. And because of that, the serious believer is in many ways like a salmon swimming upstream in his or her beliefs and in his or her conduct. And when we lose that vital part of a Christian worldview, then I think we fall into the danger of compromising for the sake of conformity.
So there's the dying to the desire to belong. All Christians need to do that. But there's also dying to the tendency to belittle. And I love the quote you have in the article by Abraham Lincoln, "I don't like that man. I must get to know him better."
Don't you love that? Yeah. In fact, in the article, I point out that oftentimes what fascinates us is what repels us, and what repels us is what fascinates us. And that can be true when we look at certain sinful tendencies. There are things that you mentioned earlier, Hank, homosexuality, transsexualism, things that make many believers recoil. And because we find certain things repugnant, we can become repugnant ourselves with a self-righteous attitude, a holier-than-thou attitude. And I think that is a very real danger, because look at the times. My gosh, we are in a time when there is so much blatant evil on display, whether it's the blatant evil of ISIS or of abortion, or whether it is the perversion of the normal female to male union. It's very easy for believers to look at these sins all around us and find ourselves, by comparison, looking pretty good. And that's the stuff a Pharisee is made out of. So I do think that we have to die to the tendency to belittle people who are engaged in sins we find repulsive and that we don't understand.
And it seems to me, too, Joe, that there's this sense on the part of many Christians that since we are on the wrong side of the culture wars, that we should feel sorry for ourselves. And I think that exposes a tendency to view this world from a temporary rather than an eternal perspective.
I think it does, Hank. I think, first of all, before we cry martyrdom, we really should look again at the early church. We should look again at the church in other parts of the world where to name Jesus as Lord really does mean you are risking your life. Now, I'll grant there is a growing hostility in American culture towards a biblical world viewpoint, especially when it comes to gender and sexual matters. I mean, the hostility that is fired at a public spokesperson who holds a Christian viewpoint is really tremendous. So I grant that there is a growing tension, but I think we're a long way from being really able with integrity to call ourselves martyrs over this. I think that we have to recognize that the idea of the world hating you is really nothing new. Now, in the American church, we may have had it too easy. We've, in many ways, been on the same page with the culture for decades and decades, and now, perhaps for the first time ever, we're seeing a very significant chasm growing between the essential beliefs of the American society and the body of Christ in America. But this really is nothing more to my thinking than the sort of relationship to the world that Jesus said we would have when he said, "If the world hated me, it's going to hate you. Don't think you're above me."
And then the third point you made, I think this is a very salient point. It's the temptation to bypass, to silently submit to the demand to either convert or shut up. And I think it is a dishonorable thing, as you point out in the article, to do that. We're not to bypass, because if we do, we're very much like those that bypassed the wounded man in the story of the Samaritan that Jesus Christ told?
I think so, Hank. On the one hand, I don't want to fight. I mean, I really don't like walking into tense situations with people. I'm not interested in making anybody's life harder. I'm not interested in, philosophically dueling with people just for the sake of dueling. But the question arises, at what point do we speak up, and at what point do we recognize truth as being vital enough to speak up about? Now, there's a growing trend, again, I think, in the evangelical church to sort of minimize the significance of these issues. And that makes it very easy to bypass them. So if the biblically prescribed form of sexual relating between man and woman, husband and wife, is a secondary issue, then it's not worth arguing about. We don't break fellowship over a number of things. We may disagree on whether or not you can lose your salvation. We may disagree on issue of tongues and so forth. But we don't break fellowship over those. We don't consider them major consequential issues. But the normal definition of the family, Hank, that's a consequential issue. That is an issue worth being controversial for. That goes back to the very foundation of humanity, the building block of human society, the family, and what our Creator intended the family to be. Now, we have never been commanded in the Bible to take our cues as far as speaking out on the popularity or unpopularity of our position. And I think that many Christians are shying away from taking a stand on this. And when I mean taking a stand, I mean simply engaging in conversation, expressing truth, being willing to vote your conscience, being able to speak in the public square. I think many are essentially saying, look, we've got a bad reputation. Christians are seen as judgmental. The world thinks we're a bunch of stuffy old fogies. Let's show them how nice we really are and not say anything to offend them, and we'll all get along better. And I would love to get along with everyone. But when my desire to get along overrides my commitment to expressing truth as God's visible expression on earth, as members of the body of Christ, then of course my priorities are all wrong.
You've already touched on this, but maybe you should etch this even sharper. Talk about the consequences of this redefinition.
Yeah, if we do, as we are doing, Hank, I mean, my gosh, the Supreme Court is going to be handing down a decision probably within another month or so, and I'm not optimistic about the outcome on this, but they will decide on whether or not states can refuse to sanction same-sex marriage if the majority in the states don't wish to do so. I think ultimately we're going to see more of an erosion of the family unit. I certainly don't think that the gays are to blame for all the problems in the modern family. Not at all. My gosh, heterosexuals haven't done a bang-up job of honoring marriage, and I mean even heterosexual Christians, Hank. I mean, the problem of divorce is ginormous. The use of pornography among Christian men, in my opinion, is epidemic. And there are countless numbers of Christian couples who are not married, who are sexually engaging apart from marriage. So we certainly have to look at how we have handled marriage thus far. But I think that to redefine marriage in the family unit is going to take us several notches down on the ladder, and it will be the proverbial slippery slope, because there is no way with integrity we are going to be able to legitimize same-sex marriage without also legitimizing polygamy. And so we're moving further and further away from the concept of the union being one man, one woman, and being exclusive. And we've already moved away from the concept of it being committed and permanent. So it'll be just one more nail in the coffin, so to speak.
Talking to Joe Dallas, Program Director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California. He is the author of many books on human sexuality, including A Strong Delusion. You can find all of his books on the web at equip.org. Of course, today we're talking about the special edition of the Christian Research Journal. Joe contributed three major articles to this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcaster outreaches around the world, along with Same-Sex Marriage, A Thoughtful Approach to God's Design for Marriage, both resources available for your gift. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Or you can talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. Right back with more Joe Dallas.
How should you respond if someone you love says, "I'm gay"? What if you are invited to attend a same-sex wedding? What if your business is asked to provide a service for a same-sex union ceremony? These questions and many others related to same-sex sexuality and transgenderism are addressed in two powerful resources. A book titled Same-Sex Marriage, A Thoughtful Approach to God's Design for Marriage, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas. To receive both equipping resources as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back in a moment. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The seven deadly sins are vices that undermine loving God and loving others. The virtuous life, by contrast, is one that resembles the image of the truest human, Jesus. Character cultivation begins not with moralistic endeavor, but with a relationship with God and Christ, which in turn transforms our character. Other topics include, is Christianity bad for your health? Why we lost the culture war and how to make a comeback? Morality, therefore God, an evangelistic strategy, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The fast-growing acceptance of same-sex marriage is comparable to a massive cultural earthquake and resulting tsunami that rearranges the social landscape. It may well be the most significant social revolution in human history, but there is also a promise. If things can change this fast in one direction, they can change just as fast in another. CRI's special offer of Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles on same-sex sexuality and transgender issues from Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas, will help you stand for biblical life and truth. To receive the Same-Sex Marriage book and journal special offer as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or simply visit equip.org. In The Atheist's Guide to Reality, Enjoying Life Without Illusions, Duke University professor and New Atheist philosopher Alex Rosenberg bites the bullet and declares that to be a consistent atheist, you'll have to be comfortable with a certain amount of nihilism and, just in case, there's always Prozac. Because a growing multitude of college students are drinking deeply from this nihilistic nonsense, we shouldn't be surprised that so many of our national spiritual and cultural indicators are headed south. Graham Veal's concise book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, is an accessible, practical resource for responding to the nihilistic nonsense of New Atheist. To receive your copy of New Atheism, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-transforming outreaches. Or visit equip.org. One of the most significant social revolutions in history involves the recent radical shift in public opinion toward same-sex marriage. Given what is at stake, Christians can no longer stay silent. The book Same-Sex Marriage, A Thoughtful Approach to God's Design for Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, along with a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas, will equip believers to stand against this rising tide of tremendous social and historical significance. Receive the book Same-Sex Marriage, as well as the special issue of the Christian Research Journal, as our thanks for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and making a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and we're on today with Joe Dallas. He is Program Director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California. It's a Christian counseling service to men who are dealing with sexual addiction, homosexuality, and other sexual relational problems. He's also the author of many books that you can find on the web at equip.org, books on human sexuality, including A Strong Delusion. And as always, it's great to have Joe on the broadcast. Joe, one of the things you point out in the special edition of the Christian Research Journal is precisely what is happening in the culture, so that kids, so that people in general will think not only that homosexuality is a normal, everyday kind of lifestyle to choose, but also that transsexualism is something to be perhaps even desired. For example, as you note, the popular television show Glee is offering an episode featuring a choir made up of 200 real-life transsexuals. Not to be outdone, the TV series Orange is the New Black is featuring a transsexual cast member. The Golden Globe-winning television drama Transparent, rather than just including transsexual characters, actually focuses on the subject of transsexualism itself. As I was driving in, I think it was today, it might have been yesterday, I was listening to ABC Good Morning America, and they were gushing over the courage and the conviction of Bruce Jenner and talking about how the family members themselves have been so supportive of a father becoming a mother, or certainly what he was not before. In light of all of that, there is this real prevalent, this pervasive sense that this is not a subject that matters a whole lot.
Well, you can see the decline, can't you, Hank? I mean, 40-plus years ago, with no-fault marriage and certainly with the advent of the sexual revolution, oh my goodness, this is going to sound tame to so many of our listeners, but there was a time when it was controversial for couples to engage sexually if they had not yet taken the marriage covenant, and it was controversial to walk away from the marriage covenant. So we've pretty much abandoned the idea that the covenant is of high importance. Then, with the advent of the gay rights movement, we abandoned the idea that the sex of the person you are engaged with is unimportant. Now, we are, in essence, saying your own sex is unimportant. If you feel that you are a member of the opposite sex, then conform your body to your feeling rather than deal with that very irrational feeling or belief that you have. So we have not only successfully minimized the importance of the male-female union, we are now in the process of minimizing the importance of sex, as in male or female itself.
Let's take a call. Tracy in Chesterfield, Virginia, you're on with Joe Dallas.
Oh, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Doing good.
I just have a question. Do you think that this whole issue of transgender, intersex, do you think that it could possibly be a sexual handicap, just like brittle bone disease or multiple sclerosis? Because in my opinion, it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden when God told Adam not to sin. And God knew that if Adam did sin, all these conditions would be in the human genome. And I also think that, that's one thing we have to put on the altar. We have to put our sexuality on the altar because I think the Lord knows who we authentically are. And I was just wondering what your opinion is.
Well, Tracy, I would tend to agree. I think we should go back to the fall of humanity when sin entered the human experience. God said the human experience is now going to be something other than what I intended it to be. And that, to me, is a foundational truth when we talk about human sexuality. The human emotional makeup is certainly not all that God intended it to be. We have many deeply ingrained emotions God never meant for us to have. God never meant for us to be resentful, unforgiving, full of wrath, selfish. These are sinful emotional tendencies. And likewise, there are many very deeply ingrained sexual tendencies God never meant us to have. Now, whether or not they are literally inborn, I think is questionable, but I'm open to the possibility because the fall did affect us body, soul, and spirit, and there is such a thing as a birth defect. And if, in fact, an unnatural sexual proclivity or an unnatural belief about your gender is an inborn condition, we should have nothing but compassion for the person who has that condition. But that doesn't mean compassion compels us to celebrate the condition. We don't do that with any condition falling short of what God intended. We certainly don't do it with a birth defect. We have compassion for the person who has any condition falling short of what God intended. And we help that person to live as much as humanly possible within conformity to created intent.
I have heard of boys born with an ovary and girls born with, some type of, the male issues. I have heard of that. And I have heard of, people who are chimeras. They had a twin of the opposite sex who was never born.
Right. Today we refer to people as intersexed who have organs of both sexes. I believe the technical term we used to use was hermaphrodite. And I think that these, as you mentioned earlier, Tracy, are abnormalities. And I think they need to be treated as such. And we seek with wisdom and medical guidance to treat the condition, but what we don't do is normalize the condition. And I think one of the greatest errors we are committing today as a culture is we are normalizing conditions that should be seen as abnormal conditions God did not intend, very deeply ingrained, certainly, and hard to deal with, but unintended by God nonetheless.
Talking to Joe Dallas again. He is Program Director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California, also an author and a contributor to the Christian Research Journal. He has written most of the articles in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal that is a special edition. So it's not the normal Christian Research Journal. It's an actual special edition. We went to great pains and cost to put it together as a resource to you, along with Same-Sex Marriage, the book, both resources available as you support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our outreaches around the world. Please be generous as you give. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And remember the resource consultants. They are sitting by with smiles on their faces. The number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Joe, one of the things you point out in this special edition of the Christian Research Journal is that there's a difference between the church and family relationships in terms of how we respond to someone who says, I'm following the gay lifestyle.
There is. Hank, I believe there is, because I think we are told very plainly by Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 and 6 that if a believer, someone who has been born again and is professing Christ, is also in the ongoing practice of immorality, whether it is fornication, adultery, homosexuality, he names other sins as well, like drunkenness, that we need to disassociate ourselves from that believer. However, I do see a distinction between disassociating from a member of the family of God and literally disassociating from a Christian family member, because that would require, for example, a wife to disfellowship her own husband if he was guilty of drunkenness, for example. And I do not believe that would jive with the commandment she has to honor the marital commitment and to seek to work through it. Now, I certainly don't believe wives should tolerate abusive behavior or tolerate adultery. I really don't. But I simply don't believe that we are called to disfellowship family members in the same way that we are called to withdraw from church members who are not part of our family unit.
How important is it that we are dealing with this issue and trying to lend a tone to this issue, not just what we're communicating in terms of information, but the way in which it's being communicated?
Well, I think that we are more and more both the minority and the alternative voice on this, Hank, but I think we need to be for two primary reasons. Number one, let's remember that faithfulness to truth is a mandate regardless of the way truth is received. So we don't stick our finger in the wind and say, let's speak this truth so long as it is not controversial. We cannot be faithful ambassadors for Christ if we shy away from Christian teaching on relevant issues. That makes no sense at all. And so I do think we're here as an alternative voice, faithfully expressing what God has stated on certain issues. And secondly, Hank, we've got to remember, I don't care how approving the culture becomes of any particular sexual sin, there will always be individuals, if you want to call them the remnant, I guess that would be okay, who will still respond not only to the gospel, but to the gospel call to take up your cross. And as one such individual who repented of homosexuality 31 years ago, I know that such individuals exist.
Yeah, we're talking to Joe Dallas. He is the program director of Genesis Counseling. More of Joe Dallas in just a few moments. Our responsibility is bigger than merely fighting against same-sex marriage. Our responsibility is to fight for marriage, as Joe has so eloquently pointed out, not only on today's broadcast, but in many other venues as well. Remember the special edition of the Christian Research Journal, Same-Sex Marriage, the book, both resources available all this month for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Instrument broadcast. Check it out on the web at equip.org, and we will be back in just a few.
It's frankly hard to comprehend that in the span of several decades, an institution as foundational to civilization as marriage has been so radically redefined. The swift acceptance of same-sex marriage is a massive cultural earthquake, resulting in the emergence of a dramatically different social landscape. The book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas, will help you stand firm for biblical life and truth amid this new cultural chaos. Receive these two powerful resources As our thanks for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. Richard Dawkins' grasp of philosophical arguments wouldn't earn him a passing grade in a freshman philosophy course, but he doesn't mean to deal with the questions that theists are asking. He simply ridicules his opponent's position. In New Atheism, A Survival Guide, Graham Veal explains, the new atheist stance is that the reasons for theism must be so bad, why even read about them? My goodness, no, you just dismiss them. Veal goes on to show that the new atheists have not offered one original argument for atheism, but they've plenty of original insults. New Atheism offers an accessible, practical resource for countering new atheist attacks. To receive your copy of New Atheism, A Survival Guide, as our thank you gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Same-sex marriage is here. It went from unthinkable to legal at a dizzying pace. The question is, now what? Can I attend a same-sex wedding? Can my business provide services for a same-sex union ceremony? What if a person in a gay marriage becomes a Christian? If you haven't encountered these questions yet, stay tuned. Given the current reality shift, you're likely to. Get well-reasoned answers to these and other questions in CRI's Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package, which includes the book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas. To receive the Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recent atheist writers claim to find real physical and psychological harm in Christian teachings and practices. However, careful analysis of this literature reveals numerous flaws, false assumptions, and factual errors. The real question is whether it is the Christian life or the atheist life that best corresponds to reality and provides for genuine human flourishing. Other topics include the seven deadly sins and the path to virtuous character. Does the Levitical prohibition of homosexuality still apply today? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Same-sex marriage is here. It went from unthinkable to legal at a dizzying pace. The question is, now what? To help Christians respond to same-sex sexuality and marriage, Hank Hanegraaff has put together a resource package that includes the book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, along with a special edition of the Christian Research Journal, featuring articles concerning same-sex sexuality and transgender issues by Joe Dallas and Hank. To receive these two powerful resources as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Talking to Joe Dallas, he himself was involved in the gay lifestyle for quite some time. As Joe mentioned just before the break, he is now the program director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California. He's the author of many books on human sexuality, and I don't know of anyone on the globe, quite frankly, that knows more about this subject, but more importantly, how to deal with people who are involved in the lifestyle with gentleness and with respect, also in terms of teaching all of us the right tone. There's a sense in which when the iron boot is stamped down on those who resist in any way, you may want to be acerbic in your response, and that is exactly wrong. We are called to do what we do with gentleness and with respect. I want to spend just a couple of moments, Joe, considering the subject of kids. I have a book in front of me called The King and King. It was endorsed. It was thought to be extraordinarily helpful for kids by Barack Obama. Hillary Clinton had some reservations. I don't know if she still does. But this is a great example of how kids at a very early age are reading books that endorse homosexuality, that endorse the gay lifestyle. And that, I think, is perhaps the most substantial problem. If you talk to adults, some already have an opinion, some are changing in their opinion. But, I mean, a lot of kids at an early age, 6, 5, 10, whatever, they're saying, what's your problem?
Well, Hank, I'm going to go out on a limb. This is an assumption now, so it should be taken just as that. But I really believe that you do not need to be taught to believe that homosexuality is unnatural. I don't think you need to be taught that transsexualism is unnatural. I think that natural development, natural observation, natural feeling will teach a child all of those. I think you have to teach a child that those things are okay. You have to train them, even indoctrinate them, to go against what their natural instincts would tell them and enlighten them as to what the experts are saying. And so that is what I think we're seeing here. We are trying to tell kids to override a very natural sense of, hey, wait a minute, the body says one thing, the person says another, who am I supposed to believe here? And I think because children, of course, are very social and they're also very teachable, why we're taking advantage of their vulnerability to, in essence, indoctrinate them so that the coming generation will have a high tolerance for the unnatural and very low tolerance for the very concept that something is unnatural.
Let's take a phone call. Brandon, he's in Birmingham, Alabama. You're on with Joe Dallas. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
All right, I was just wondering, you know, I'm heterosexual and I'm Christian, and I really believe, you know, homosexuality is unnatural. But at the same time, I've been struggling with one question in my own mind is, you know, my marriage is not just in one religion alone. It's not just Christianity. And, you know, last I checked, atheists, they get married all the time. And, you know, they may not be right in the eyes of God, but we legally allow this and we accept this in our society. And so I just don't understand why, you know, we don't just let them do what they do, but then try to, you know, work with them and bring them back towards God.
I'm sorry, a little bit of what you were saying there was breaking out, but if I understood correctly, you were saying, in essence, there are many people who get married who are non-Christian, either they are members of other belief systems or they have no spiritual beliefs at all, and many of them are marrying not only outside of God's will, since they are not believers, but they're marrying under situations that we would not consider biblical. And we don't seem to make a fuss about that, so why are we bothering with same-sex marriage? Is that a fair way of sort of encapsulating what you just said?
That's it in a rough draft.
Yeah, okay. And I think that's fair enough, but I think that the thing itself, the male-female union in marriage, is essentially a good thing, whether it happens between non-Christians or whether it happens between Christians. just like, let me use a different kind of an analogy here. A high school graduation is a good thing. It's a good thing for a young person to be educated. And so we would celebrate a high school education, whether the graduate was a Christian or a non-Christian. We would obviously prefer he be saved, but we would still celebrate the thing itself because the thing is inherently good. Marriage is inherently a good thing. Now, granted, there is such a thing as marrying outside God's will. If I were to leave my wife and go take another woman, and there were no biblical grounds for doing so, that would not inherently be a good thing. But in most cases, the marriage is at least conforming to biblically spelled out standards. And for that reason, I think we can still celebrate that. What we don't celebrate is a further redefinition of marriage. In other words, there are times we almost adopt the idea that two wrongs make a right. If we are allowing something which is wrong, then we should thereby allow something more which is wrong, which, again, to my thinking, is not the way to solve any problem, certainly not this one.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Louise, listening in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You're on with Joe Dallas.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, Hank. I appreciate your program. I have a question concerning homosexuality in the church setting, and I have a problem with a church that has homosexuals in leadership positions in the church. I approached someone in our church about this and was told that you know, God loves everybody, the homosexuals are saved. If they accept Jesus Christ, they're saved, as well as the heterosexuals. I want your advice on that, your opinion on that, because I'm very uncomfortable with that, and I'll just state my opinion, and that is that I don't think that homosexuals should have a leadership role in the church. And by leadership, I mean musicians or any position in the church where they are teaching others, you know, other people.
Well, I would agree with you. I think that the invitation to salvation is universal. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." And he said, "Anyone who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." That is absolutely true. But then, having been born again as children of God, we have many biblical mandates, and they are not mandates we obey in order to be saved. They are mandates we obey because we are saved. And one of the most primary of those is to offer our bodies up as living sacrifices, to recognize that we have to live in conformity to God's will. So the fact that God loves us is no justification whatsoever for continuing in sin. Now, in qualifications of leadership, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus especially are very clear in admonishing that leaders be living exemplary lives. So the fact that God loves a person does not mean that that person is fit to be in a position of leadership in the church. If someone is attending church and practicing homosexuality, God loves that person, and not but, and that person is, because of the sin they are continuing to engage in, they are not fit for leadership within the church, nor would be the fornicator nor the adulterer.
Appreciate your call, Louise. Don't have time for another question on today's edition of the Bible Lanceman broadcast. Joe, just a quick word about the journal, encouraging people from your perspective to get this resource, to digest the resource, because life and truth really do matter.
Well, they do. And Hank, I can't imagine the time this has been more relevant, can you? I mean, everyone, it seems, is talking about same-sex marriage, homosexuality, and transsexualism. Everybody but us. And I find that inexcusable. So I was so grateful and excited when I heard from you that the journal wanted to do a special issue on this topic. Believers need to be equipped. I suppose most of our listeners, Hank, know what they believe about these issues, but are not quite clear how to articulate their beliefs. And that's one of the primary reasons I am excited that this issue is being released, because I think it will equip believers to articulate what they know but haven't quite known how to say.
And we are deeply grateful to you for all your contributions and for joining us on the air today.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you, Hank.
Joe Dallas, again, he's Program Director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California. It's a Christian counseling service to men. Men who are dealing with sexual addiction, homosexuality, other sexual relational problems. He's the author of many books on human sexuality. You can find them on the web at equip.org. Again, a special edition of the Christian Research Journal, as well as the book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, on their way to you when you support the ministry this month. Please be generous. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or simply write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, our resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Believe it or not, this is not the kind of subject that will win any ministry a popularity contest, but this is not about being politically correct. It is about making a difference while there is yet time. Soon we will stand in eternity, give an account for what we did in the time that God gave us to live. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you right here with more.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. Less than 20 years ago, only a quarter of the United States population supported same-sex marriage. Today, 4 out of 5 voters think that same-sex marriage will be legal throughout the United States within 5 to 10 years, many believing it won't take even that long. The question is, now what? As biblically committed Christians, where do we go from here? To equip you with well-reasoned responses to questions surrounding same-sex sexuality and marriage, Hank Hanegraaff has put together a resource package that includes the book Same-Sex Marriage, A Thoughtful Approach to God's Design for Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, along with a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Joe Dallas and Hank. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the mind-shaping ministries of CRI, Hank would like to send you these two powerful resources. Just call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. In The Atheist's Guide to Reality, Enjoying Life Without Illusions, Duke University professor and new atheist philosopher Alex Rosenberg bites the bullet and declares that to be a consistent atheist, you'll have to be comfortable with a certain amount of nihilism, and just in case, there's always Prozac. Because a growing multitude of college students are drinking deeply from this nihilistic nonsense, we shouldn't be surprised that so many of our national spiritual and cultural indicators are headed south. Graham Veal's concise book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, is an accessible, practical resource for responding to the nihilistic nonsense of New Atheist. To receive your copy of New Atheism, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-transforming outreaches. Or visit equip.org. The fast-growing acceptance of same-sex marriage is comparable to a massive cultural earthquake and resulting tsunami that rearranges the social landscape. It may well be the most significant social revolution in human history, but there is also a promise. If things can change this fast in one direction, they can change just as fast in another. CRI's special offer of same-sex marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles on same-sex sexuality and transgender issues from Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas, will help you stand for biblical life and truth. To receive the same-sex marriage book and journal special offer as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or simply visit equip.org.